All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. 512 Friday edition of Ball Don't Lie. That means we play jams from local bands and artists that you can hear right here in the ATX, the live music capital of the world. Who we jamming right now, Ty?
This is Broken Teeth, Four on the Floor, live at the Wass Well on Friday.
Okay, tonight. The whole band name is Broken Teeth, Four on the Floor?
No, the band name is The Broken Teeth.
Okay.
Four on the Floor is the song.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, damn, they're really specific.
They got broken teeth and are four of them are on the floor.
I say, wow. Okay, there you go. All right, thank you for that, Ty. 512 Friday. A really quick conversation that we were having, because I just want to make sure that I clarify. Yes, Dick Night Train Lane, who was born here in the ATX, he was abandoned by his parents in a dumpster. Covered in newspaper, Dick Night Train Lane. I think Hart is right. Probably the reason why he played with so much rage.
Yeah.
His parents were like they were prostitutes and a pimp, essentially, I think. So they abandoned him. Really sad story, but obviously he became an icon, football icon. And I've said this before. Someone should write a screenplay about Dick Night Train Lane's life. And I was telling that to Hart and Ty and talking about it. And I said, because football movies to me, there are some good ones, but they do fall short of, like, I think baseball and basketball movies to me have more extensive and probably more iconic movies than football movies. And maybe it's because the action doesn't translate, hard to simulate, replicate that kind of action. And basketball and baseball, maybe it's easier to replicate. It's just my opinion.
It definitely can be. No, right? it's definitely easier to do those other two.
But I will say this. It is my belief that if football movies start to go more toward biopics, I think the best football movies have been biopic-ish, like Dick Night Train Lane, like it just brought up like his story. I mean, he played in the Negro Leagues. He ended up in the military before he even went to the league.
Yeah.
Well, he ended up in football. So all that stuff. I always said Hollywood Henderson would be an excellent screenplay.
Did y'all know Brecken Hager acted in a football movie?
He did. It was about the orphans, right?
The 12 Mighty Orphans.
Yes, I meant to.
Actually, I still haven't seen that yet.
It's on one of my queues, either for Netflix or for Hulu or one of them.
Yeah.
I want to watch
it. I talked to him about it, though, and he said that they were letting him lay people out there when they were filming.
They want to try to get the action as close as they can, right? Because that's really, really tough in football movies. But aside from the action, because I think that's tough to simulate, that's why you got to go toward the more biopic realm in football movies. And I think, like I said, Hollywood Henderson would be great. Won the lottery twice, ended up being addicted to drugs. Now I think he's found God. He doesn't even answer to Hollywood anymore.
Right.
I think if you call him Hollywood now, he'll correct you. Like, no, Hollywood is dead.
Man,
I'm a man of God now.
That ain't the same person.
I ain't the same person anymore. Yeah. Just a great, and was obviously one of the best linebackers in the NFL at the time he played. And I think, remember even Lawrence Taylor said he wore the number, I believe, 56 because of Hollywood Henderson.
Maybe. And
From
they
not
ended
mistaken.
Up being the same type of person.
But anyway, my random rant is that I think football movies should go more toward biopics. And I think they'd be more successful creating more. Football is the most popular entertainment product in this country. Basically, it is the biggest TV show and most popular TV show in the country. And we're obsessed with it. And yet our football movies, they're awesome. They're okay. But they're not great.
Yeah.
I think baseball and basketball have had more iconic movies than football. Still working on them. But some of your most iconic football movies have been high school-related football movies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying like Varsity Blues and Friday Night Lights, that kind of thing. So that'd be my suggestion for the football movies. Start exploring like the background. Like Joe Namath.
Oh, my
Joe
gosh.
Joe Namath movie? Joe Namath biopic would be awesome. Be awesome. God was doing all kind of crazy stuff. So I don't know. It's really weird to me that we don't go the way. Anyway, random conversation there. Specs text on Waterman 45-12-337-3776. The big news of the day here in these parts on the 40 acres is the suspension of Isaiah Hall. Isaiah Hall, the transfer from Alabama at the wide receiver position, he got arrested yesterday for criminal mischief. At least some of the rumors out there is that he was trying to remove a boot. A parking boot from his car, and he was arrested for criminal mischief as a result of that. And then Steve Sarkisian made a statement earlier today in regards to him being arrested and that incident and saying that he will be suspended indefinitely from the team. And he said he spoke to his parents. He spoke to Isaiah Hall's parents, spoke to Isaiah Hall as well. So I'm assuming because of that, he informed them of why he made the decision. We don't know all the details as to why Sark decided to suspend him indefinitely. But shout out to my man Chip Brown, who does a great job over there at Horns 24/7. What do you call him, Harge? What you call him?
See, Breezy.
He did a show with Chip Brown for years.
Yeah. See,
so
Breezy.
You probably know Chip Brown as well or better than anybody else. You know where the bodies are buried.
I do.
But I know Chip Brown well. He does a great job over there, Horns 24/7. I don't call him Chip Breezy, though. Like my man, Horns. I don't know him that well. But he's good people. And he put this out August 4th. This is about a week ago in his Insider report. I'll just read it verbatim. Here's the excerpt. Now, for the not-so-good news. Redshirt freshman Alabama transfer receiver Isaiah Hall still has a lot to figure out and needs to figure it out quickly. According to dialed-in team sources, let's just say Hall has already gotten to know the leadership council under less-than-desirable circumstances. So I assuming, and we had a texter who, great text, who pointed out earlier that maybe the leadership council could be the reason that Sark has decided to go with an indefinite suspension, because obviously there have been some other issues behind the scenes that we are not privy to.
Yeah, and that's a great point and a great find. And, you know, when you hear those types of things, because my initial reaction was I thought it was a little harsh to suspend him indefinitely. But that was before I knew all the other information for the behind-the-scenes type stuff that was going on with the leadership council, where he's been. And another part of it was saying that Sark, he was wearing thin on teammates and the coaches because Sark was trying to implement his culture after a 5-7 season, and he wasn't being a part of that. So when you're not a part of it, and then we bring it back even further when we've heard all the conversation about who's standing out in practice, who are the stars, who are some of the names at the wide receiver position, his name never really came up, and people kept asking us.
Great point, I agree with that.
Everybody kept asking us, is he even here? Remember, he wasn't on the roster, he was on the roster. There was so much that was happening during that time of transfer as well, that you're like, man, I thought he was here, and then you go look at the roster, he wasn't on there yet, then they put his picture up, then they had him. You know, there's so much that was going down with that situation that it ended up changing obviously, the narrative of who he was and what's going to happen with this team. So the fact that he has spent some time with the leadership council kind of made me understand now. Because originally, when I saw that, I was like, wait, what? Indefinitely for a boot? For trying to take it off? What are we talking about? And then now you hear about the other stuff, and you're like, oh, okay.
Because it would have been
– respected.
Yes, because it would have been seen by some – if Sark had just been more specific about the punishment, say, oh, it's going to be away from the team for 2 weeks, no team activities, or suspended for the first game, and then he'll rejoin the team, but he can practice in the meantime, but he will be out for the first game, whatever. If he was very specific about the punishment, I think you wouldn't have had people get upset about it online. I saw people upset about it on Twitter and even on the Specs text line here. Some people saying they thought that may have been a bit heavy-handed. I don't think they saw the Chip Brown report that we just brought up.
Yep.
Chip Brown reiterated that on a recent report as well. Said coaches and players had grown frustrated with Isaiah Hall behind the scenes. Isaiah Hall did put out a statement via the gram. he said, everything's good. Everything good. Let's work. That's all. So assuming that he's in a good place. Seems to have a good attitude about it, that he knows he's got to accept some responsibility for what he did. And that statement makes me think he'll be back with the team. I don't know what your definition of soon is, but maybe sooner rather than later.
Maybe
won't last.
Maybe he thinking he gonna be back with the team.
Good point. Because some people are saying this may be the beginning of the end for him.
Right.
They may be trying to push him out. That statement makes me think he is optimistic about his status.
Oh, we good.
You're right. Yeah, right. It's a great point. Like, that's his side of things.
Exactly.
When that door closed, Sark and his people were like, man, we can't wait to get rid of that dude.
Right.
He is annoying.
Right.
I see why Saban let him go. Saban needed receivers.
Right.
He had a higher rating than Xavier Worthy. So he was considered a higher-rated prospect than Xavier Worthy, and Alabama needs receivers badly.
Right.
And now, Nick Saban decided, nah,
I don't need
good.
It that badly.
I don't need it that bad. You're good, Isaiah. Go to Texas.
Yeah.
So, there were some issues there. I'm glad he got a clean slate here, but obviously the young man has some lessons that he needs to learn, and hopefully he does because he's tremendously talented. When we asked Bijan Robinson, and I asked him on Big 12 Media Days, when he came on the show, if you had a 4x100 relay team that you could make and you could comprise it of Texas football players, who would you pick? And he said Isaiah Hall was one of the four players. He said first, Brennan Thompson. Second, Keaton Crawford. Third, Isaiah Hall. And fourth, X-Men.
Yeah.
Xavier Worthy. So he's saying that Isaiah Hall was one of four fastest players on the team as soon as he stepped on campus, pretty much.
Mm.
And you might be in danger of losing that kind of upside at receiver.
There was a lot that's going on right there.
Yeah.
But, you know, that upside that you're talking about is the reason why so many other players are getting those opportunities now. You've heard about Savion Redd. We heard Jay Witt talk about him as possible, like a Debo type. Or he reminds me a little bit of myself, you know. And I was like, wait, whoa, give me yourself a little.
See, once again, let's slow down. Because I wanted Jay Witt to be the next Debo Samuel, too.
Right.
Before Debo Samuel had his year this past season, I was trying to make those comparisons with Jay Witt, and Jay Witt couldn't stay healthy enough.
Yeah.
So I don't want Jay Witt taking handoffs. That changed my mind.
Don't want that.
Nope, I don't want him in the backfield at all. I just want you to play wide receiver. Let's see if we can get through a season playing wide receiver. I don't want you trying to be Debo.
Right.
Knock on wood.
Knock on
wood. I want you to play wide receiver for one season, make it to the NFL, and then we can brag about you comparing yourself to Debo. Because he's got a Sunday skill set, but if he don't stay healthy, we'll never see it.
See? And that's the thing about it. And and those are the things that we continue to talk about. But Sark has 18 wide receivers in camp. 18.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Is that
of
room that big? That eight wide receivers?
That's what
room?
I'm talking that's about. Like, we ain't got nobody else going to play another position or something.
That's a lot of wide receivers.
That's a lot. He said it the other day, I was like, wait, what? Did you just say? He said, man, we got that many wide receivers.
I can't even name that many.
I'm trying to look at their depth chart, and I'm looking at – I don't even see it on their depth chart.
So I guess he's including the walk-ons, but still.
Yeah.
Even with the walk-ons, that's a big number.
That's a huge number. I'm looking at 9 right now just off of this little depth chart that I have. But
he did criticize Tom Herman, too, for having too many receivers on the roster when he got it. He was like, too many receivers, not enough O-linemen. Well, I'll admit, he's got more O-linemen now than Herman, but he's also stockpiling wide receivers, too.
And that's where I keep looking at. I'm like, okay, where are these guys going to be? Like, what is happening? How is this going to go down? And you do have some depth, which is why Jai Hall is somebody that is expendable, so to speak. Hey, man. Go get yourself together and go ahead and do it. We got plenty of people here that are going to be able to try to make sure you don't get your position back, so to speak. Because that's what's happening. That is what these guys in that locker room, even though he's probably tight with a bunch of them, and that's great. And they should be helping trying to get him right for whatever reason why he has to meet with the leadership council. But I'm looking at myself and saying, you know what? This is my opportunity right now. Ajay Hall was one of the guys. He was number 2 on the depth chart. Now I'm just jumping over there, and I'm going to give myself this opportunity. Say, Coach, I should be on this field. Here's my time now. And what perfect timing for it to happen with the scrimmage happening tomorrow.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. Now you need guys to step up. And
yep. There's a lot of next man up in that locker room.
It
right
is. No, that's a good reason as to why they may decide, nah, we're moving on. You know, we've already moved on from you. You can stay here and stay in school if you want to, but pretty much we may be done with them.
Right.
So we'll talk about that a little bit more, what the options are for Isaiah Hall. But I hope they really can help him kind of rehab his image, if you will, number one.
Yeah.
But also help him just make better decisions overall. Because I think his upside is through the roof. And he fits perfectly what Sark wants to do.
Right.
He's a speed demon. He's raw athletically, but a huge athletic upside. And as you just pointed out, he loves stockpiling receivers.
Stockpiling.
All right, so we'll get back to that conversation. But that is the big news. Isaiah Hall suspended indefinitely from the Texas football team as a result of trying to remove a boot from his car. Full disclosure, I've had a boot on my car when I played there, and I would say anywhere from 15 to 20% of the team had a boot on their car at one time or another when I played of that roster, easily. And my old clique had them. The Woods, whether it's Sims or Shano, I mean, the UT parking folks, they are aggressive, and they are vigorous. Right, they do not take days off. They work hard, and I had a friend over there tell me, like, man, Texas makes millions of millions, plural, off of parking over
plural.
There.
Plural,
and a lot of it is ticketing folks and them having to pay it, and they won't let you register. They won't let you. You won't be able to graduate unless you pay it. They're serious about it. They'll say, oh no, you cannot graduate until you pay this $400 in parking tickets.
Yeah,
we will keep your degree. It's like what? Yeah, they're not joking.
Yeah, they will not let you graduate.
They get media, too. Yeah. They've gotten members of the media. I've heard Brian Davis and Anwar Richardson.
The best one is
Jeff Howe talk about him.
Sean Clinch. Sean Clinch, the nicest person in America, wanted to fight the parking lady. He wanted to fight. He was so mad about this parking.
Yeah, and they don't care.
And he was like, you don't see. And he had a parking pass.
Oh, they don't care.
That's the other part.
Sometimes they don't care about it. They're like, oh, we didn't see it. It wasn't in the right place. I've had friends like, no, it should have been in the right place. Like, it was on the dash. It ain't supposed to be on the dash. It's supposed to be hanging by your rearview mirror or something like that. Crazy stuff, man. Oh, they are. Yeah, trust me, I had to deal with it. So, Isaiah Hall,
all did.
I know he might think he's a victim in this situation. you are not.
You're Michael Jackson, you are not alone. We are here with you.
Everybody who's lived in this city for more than probably 10 years has had some type of altercation, some type of situation with UT parking. It's just the reality of it. They're too big. You got to go on that campus. I had to pay. Oh, man, I ain't going to say it's going to frustrate y'all and upset me.
Look at what somebody just sent us. I had to pay 50 cents for a library book late fee, or he wasn't going to be able to graduate.
Wow. That's why UT got all that money. UT like the IRS, man. You're going to pay UT that money. You will pay the money you owe UT. They're going to chase you down. I like that. Hill says, I got a ticket 2 years after graduation, and when I wanted to get my transcript 10 years later, they made me pay it. They're like, oh, you'll be back. You'll be back for some reason.
I will see you again. That's right.
Tried to buy some season tickets. They made me pay for parking tickets. Like, I just want to buy some season tickets in the game, man.
Put a little tax on there for you.
What is this fee here? What is this fee you mad at?
You remember when you were parked on Guadalupe?
No, but it is. I think everybody has had those experiences. So Isaiah Hall, that wasn't. I think honestly, everybody could have related to him getting a boot in his car. Nobody would have called him out for being irresponsible or anything like that. What he gets called out for is not going over to the parking and transportation office there at UT on campus, which I have done multiple times. We all had to do and go over there and being hat in hand.
Exactly.
Being very nice. Hello, ma'am. How are you today? Oh, great day outside. Well, I was wondering if you could help me handle this parking ticket situation here. And hopefully she's in a really good mood there.
Right.
And maybe she can say, oh, you know what? We can do this and do that and hook you up. Other than that, you got to pay it. And I believe they offer a payment plan. There's no way I could have paid all
at one
time.
Okay, so somebody said the real question was, Rod, did you pay all your fines?
I believe I did. Now, if I go
you
over
got
there.
You got your paperwork, though.
I got my degree.
Yeah,
so
you good.
I paid
so
all of it. But I might have gotten something after that and not paid. So if I go over there today, there's a good chance they were like, oh, yeah, you got a ticket right here, right?
They booting if you out.
You know what? I don't think I have one because I have parked on campus for football games or for other little events and stuff like that, media availabilities, and I have not been ticketed. And I parked legally, but they don't care. If you owe money, you can park legally, and they'll still run your plates.
Yeah,
they'll go, no, he owes money.
Real.
So you can be like, oh, I'm parked legally.
Oh, yeah.
They won't boot my car because I'm legal this time. No. They run all those plates of all those cars parked there.
Trust me.
And if you owe money, they'll be like, got them. They got a list of all the serial offenders anyway.
Yeah.
They know who, they got a picture of your car. They know Ricky Williams' car and Chris Sims' car. And they know Isaiah Hall's car. They know Bijan's Lambo.
They know
Sark's car. Yeah. They know all of them. Sark's got his own spot, but if Sark try to park by the curb one day, they'll get Sark.
Now,
ticket him.
Now I understand why Gary Patterson said he parks in the back of the lot. He don't want no smoke.
They got Gary Patterson one time. Yeah. He's like, ah, man, you know what?
He said, I'm going to go ahead and stay in the back.
I'm going to stay in the back. Yeah. All right, Isaiah Hall. Yeah, if you got the tickets, anybody deal with that, just go over there and talk to them. Do not try to remove the boot from your car. We had a texter text us a picture of the car that had two boots on it. Two boots.
Two.
They went dosing them babies.
Two.
That's crazy. So one boot is enough. I can't drive the car. One boot on there. They put two on there. One on the front, one on the back. That's gratuitous.
They let you know. That's how many tickets you got. I'm putting that many boots
on
you.
We're going to put two on there, and then we left one on the hood for you.
Exactly.
It's a random boot
just
on there.
Just in case you decided you wanted to go somewhere.
Wow. All right. So that's a bizarre story. That is a crazy story. All right, we'll come back. Someone says, I almost needed a small loan to get my car out that day. Said UTPD booted me 10 years post-graduation when I was at the swim center for a swim meet, and they did not offer me a payment plan. I almost needed a small loan to get my car out that day. They don't care.
Oh, man.
They do not care, man. They don't. They will get you. They will get you. Oh, man. All right.
I take my plates off when I park at a UT.
That is actually pretty good. Got him. There you go. All right. I love that, man. I love that. UT Park. Anybody know anybody in UT Park? I've never known anybody who works for them.
I don't.
But they have to have an extensive workforce because they cover everything. I mean, you cannot park your car for more than 30 minutes illegally on campus. They will get you. All right. Someone says one boot, you could just change the tire. Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
He said one boot, you could just change the tire. It's true. I didn't know that. Great. I didn't think that's a thing. But I guess if you're that skilled, you could technically do it.
So you just
I don't know how they hook boots on. So I don't know how they're hooked.
I guess it is. It's kind of hooked right there where you could probably take the
wow.
Man.
Okay. That's why they do too.
Yep.
Man.
They let you know.
Learning something new every day. Thank you, Texas. Appreciate
Thank you.
That. And I will take my plates off next time I park at UT. Appreciate it. You know you are shady when you're taking your plates off places. You know you're doing some shady stuff. But it's brilliant.
It's a great idea.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Because you don't get pulled over unless you're driving without plates. So you put them back on and then
get
roll
out of there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Texter. I will use that next time. I like that. Is good. That's brilliant. I like this stuff.
I'm taking my whole bumper off. I ain't going nowhere.
All right, we'll come back. We got Raj round the day on the other side. We'll talk a little UT football. Matter of fact, I'm talking a little UT football, a little Cowboys football. I'm going to make a reference to Babyface, the R&B
Ooh.
Artist. You'll never get that anywhere else right here on Ball Don't Lie on Raj round of the day on 104.9 The Horn.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real!
My God! Okay, it's happening! Everybody stay calm!
No, oh, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to Raj Round of the Day. Quickly to the Specs text line before I get into the subject matter here. Kenny B says, sorry, Rod, taking off your plates won't work with the UT Nazi Parking PD as they take a pic of your VIN number so they can still find out who owns the car. They sell 3 parking stickers for every parking spot, so it is a racket. Oh, I like that. We get inside knowledge here. Oh, how about this one?
Racket.
I worked for Daily Texan and did photos for a story about parking authority. Spent the day rolling in the golf cart with one of them. He explained that they could write 10 times the tickets they actually do. He said that some portion of the employees are hired to be intentionally more chill and lenient while others are more strict. He was more chill. If this is here when we roll back, we'll write the ticket, but not yet. There you go.
I like it.
A little inside knowledge there. One texter here says, "What? My son goes to UT. I guess he needs 2 spares now and maybe dealer plates. What starts there changes the world." Yeah, someone said, I took my front plate off and backed in at the main garage, still booted my butt. Yeah, you're right, because the VIN number. They just tell us now, don't forget to cover. So got to cover the VIN, too. You got to cover the VIN. Can't forget about that. How about this story? My buddy found a keychain next to his car after getting booted. I guess it fell off the parking person's belt. My buddy used it to take his boot off and just kept the keys. We all called him every time we got booted. It was glorious. Oh, dude, you could have sold that. Like, people would have paid you good money to have access to those keys.
Yeah.
Like, I probably owed $340 in parking tickets. I'd have paid you easily half of that to get my boot off, and then I can take my stuff back home. You could have made some money off of that. Maybe. You probably still can.
No, I was going to say, it ain't over.
They probably
ain't
changed those boots very much. So there you go. That's some random knowledge from our insiders on the text line. We appreciate all your guys' participation. All right. Let's talk about chemistry. Let's talk about chemistry, not just with romantic couples, right? Chemistry can exist with any group or couple that is really close. Well, it's 2 best friends, right? You can be best friends. You guys are really close, so you guys have an understanding, right? You can finish each other's sentences. You got a lot of inside jokes. That's chemistry. And you ever have good chemistry with a friend that you haven't seen in years, 5, 6 years, and you guys see each other, boom, instantly, back like the old days. Y'all cracking jokes, inside jokes, making fun of people, having fun. You're like, man, because you've got good chemistry with that person. It just works. It can be romantic. Sometimes it can just be friendship. We call them bromances at times. And hell, OJ Simpson and AC Cowlings is probably one of the famous examples, right? I mean, that's a hell of a bro man. Yep. You know, drive the white Bronco over somebody when they're wanted for murder, all right? I gotta tell you that you are down like four flat tires with a person. You gotta really love somebody to do that. And the reason I'm talking about chemistry and all of its different forms is because now in football, these front office execs, these coaches, they are finally starting to try their best to value and quantify chemistry, specifically quarterback wide receiver chemistry. And the reason is pretty simple. More option routes. Now, as a defensive back, I can tell you, one of the most difficult, unfair concepts to defend in football is an option route. Because essentially, the wide receivers got two options, or multiple options on
multiple,
the route.
Multiple, also
the same. All right, so back in my day, it was just two. Now it's multiple. Back in the day, it used to be leverage, inside, outside, cut. Now they probably got a bunch of tags, what they call tags on them now. But, you know, an option route is essentially based on where the defender is, the leverage of the defender, and the defensive coverage, that receiver has multiple possibilities. So essentially, as a defender, you're always wrong. If I play outside leverage, I play it tight, I'm wrong because he's got an adjustment to that. If I play inside leverage, I'm going to be wrong because he's got an adjustment to that. If I play deep, try to play off, I'm wrong. He's got an adjustment to that. He's got an adjustment to every damn thing I do. but the only way option routes work, and by the way, because they're in fact, these days, this is why as a defender, you're SOL. You're up it alley. You're just up. I mean, you got no shot as a defender to shut down offenses like you do back in the day. Now, what Georgia did is kind of the exception to the rule. But think about offenses now. Now, I'm getting off the path here, but I'll go right back. In just one offensive construct, you have option routes within package plays with RPOs, with back and front side tags while using pre-snap motion, two trips or to twins to the bunch formation while I was trying to run pick routes. Those are all cheat codes within one offensive construct. That teams are now just, and by the way, Sark is one of the innovators of that. Brilliantly, he just compiles a lot of cheat codes and force multipliers within his offense, making it impossible for the defense to defend all those concepts and overloading the circuitry of the defense in their central processing unit, if you will. But getting back to it, I digress. Quarterback wide receiver chemistry. Here at Texas, we got a chance to see one of the greatest bromances in terms of quarterback wide receiver combos in the history of college football, watching Jordan Shipley, the greatest receiver in Texas football history, in my opinion, and Colt McCoy. They just understood each other. Teams were doubling Jordan Shipley. They were rolling coverage. They were putting safeties over the top of them. They still couldn't stop Jordan Shipley and Colt McCoy. Their bromance was too strong. They had an understanding. What Babyface in the song Whippoorwill refers to, that it is a way of talking that's better than words. That's essentially what you're asking for from your quarterback and your wide receiver in their chemistry with option routes. They must communicate, all right, without words. The soft or unspoken looks and gestures or whatever it may be. All right, but they don't do it with words. They have to see the world. They have such a bromance, such great chemistry, that they see the defensive world the same way. They see the football world the same way, which means that when that DB is inside leverage and that safety is at 8 yards, but he's inside and looks like he's going to go and close off the center field and the linebacker is shallow, I'm running this route. And he knows it and I know it. And we don't even have to say it. Dak Prescott talked about this in relation to CeeDee Lamb yesterday. Got a great quote from Dak, actually kind of the inspiration for this Rod Round of the Day. And here's a quote. I love it. And it shows me I think Dak's going to be just fine with CeeDee Lamb, because if he's examining the relationship to this extent, that is very constructive and healthy. He said, quote, about CeeDee Lamb and how he felt that the chemistry was between he and CeeDee. Quote, still plays to be made. There was an option route right there at the end that was incomplete. He fooled me a little bit. Great decision by him. I've got to be on the same page. It was a 50-50 read, and he went with the read he felt like he could win. I've got to expect and know that he's going to win on that. I thought he may have taken the easier route, but he went the harder route, and that's fine. That's where the big play is. So I've got to be in tune with him, and we'll do that. That's an easy, easy fix. That's another big play that's going to happen. We'll just continue to grow day and day and take more steps. So So he's telling you, I mean, that's where some of the, except he could have actually, Dak could have been reading the play correctly. But he's saying, based on CeeDee Lamb's preference, CeeDee wants to go to the house on that one. See, you know what I mean? So even if you see the world the same way and the action, what my man Shannon always says, be coachable, don't be a robot. You got, if CeeDee Lamb wants to run the skinny post, even though the read is a curl for you, man, you know what? I'm going to throw the skinny post for CeeDee because CeeDee wants me to put it in a certain spot. If I put it down, if I put it low in the way, perfect spot for CeeDee. But you only know that based on the coverage they're playing and the leverage of the defender and all those things like that are unspoken. You just have to understand, all right, each other. And that's why that chemistry now is trying to be valued, is trying to be quantified. And I believe, honestly, quarterback and wide receiver chemistry is something in today's modernized game. It's not only hard to quantify, but it can be an invaluable resource. I'm talking about something that's worth is incalculable. And this is why the NFL now, they're starting to, like I said, prioritize this. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, right? The reason they drafted Ja'Marr Chase because they felt, oh, they had chemistry in college. Let's bring the band back together. Reunited, and it feels so good. Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith, same thing, right? Tua, right, with Jalen Waddle. All right, Derek Carr and Devontae Adams, probably the most famous example, but Kyler Murray and Marquise Brown. The NFL's starting to figure it out now that in a world of option routes, where you have more and more option routes, more multiplicity and diversity within the offense, one of the things you need to nail down is the chemistry between your quarterback and your wide receiver. Because no matter how much you adjust the defensive scheme and the coverage, if they got a bromance that will not be denied, like an Aaron Rodgers and a Devontae Adams, it won't be denied. And you don't think the NFL was trying to stop the best receiver in the game by rolling coverage and devoting resources and doubling that guy? They did. But when you can scheme that guy open by using him in pre-snap motion or putting him in bunch formations and giving him in the slot and giving him two-way releases, all those little things that can force multipliers, cheat codes that can give him advantages, and he has also great chemistry with Aaron Rodgers, and they're thinking about the same thing, seeing the football world through the same eyes, it's hard to stop. It's almost impossible to stop. We saw that, like I said, going back to a Colt McCoy and a Jordan Shipley. Think about that team. That was the only offense on that team. That offense,
facts.
That team, that offense, they didn't have much. I think they had a young Marquise Goodwin maybe, a DJ Monroe that they refused to get the football to.
Facts.
That was the heart and soul of that offense. That was the main course, and nobody could stop it. Why? That bromance would not be denied. They had a whip appeal that was just palpable. And getting back to Texas, Texas will have to develop that. Remember last year, who did Casey like going to early on? All Longhorn fans know. Who he like going to early on, Harch?
Oh, it was our man Jay Witt.
Knock on wood. And then after that? It was X-Men. You develop your chemistry. Like, yeah. Oh, I got chemistry with this guy. So he would throw it to Jay Witt on any third down. He's like, third down, going to Jay Witt. He trusted Jay Witt.
Everybody knew it was going there, and he was still going still there. Kind of like Colt McCoy was doing with Jordan Shipley.
Because you know, if I get the right ball placement, I know where he's going to turn. I know how he's going to run this route. I know how he's going to set the DB up. I know how he's going to decelerate because I know this guy. Like you know your wife. Like, I know my wife.
Facts.
you already know how your wife's going to react to something before she even hears the news. You know, facts. You're like, man, I already know how wife is going to take this news.
Yeah, I've been dealing with it right now.
Exactly. And that's only when you know a person really well. And I think that's what the Cowboys are trying to get with CeeDee Lamb and Dak. I like it. In the Texas Longhorns got to do the same thing with whoever wins that starting quarterback job. All right. Someone here says, did you know they're talking about dads played together.
Yeah,
you know.
They're talking about Colt McCoy and and Bob Shipley. I love it.
That, I know. I'm sorry to bring up that obviously well-known fact, but I was trying to make a different point, but I appreciate that. Yes, you're right. That was that they beat that dead horse over and over again. They still do it anytime they can. All right, we come back. We'll get into a little Astros discussion. Astros, go Astros! Beating the Rangers yesterday, finishing up that series. We'll talk about that on the other side right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9. Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It is a 512 Friday. We play jams from local bands and artists that you can hear live right here in the ATX, the live music capital of the world. Who we jamming right now? What we got?
This is Rochelle and the Sidewinders. Treat Me the Way You Do. They're playing at the Hayes City Store this Sunday.
Whoa!
Oh, the Hayes City Store.
Playing at Hayes City Store? Damn it. I want to get out there to Hayes City Store. Mike? You guys still have not had Hayes City. You haven't had Hayes City Store, have you?
Me
Patrick
and Patrick
haven't had it.
Me and Patrick.
And you haven't had it either. We got to take a field trip to Hayes City Store, man. It's legit.
Mm-hmm.
It is, in this city, one of my favorite genres of food that's disappearing is comfort food. Just straight up comfort food. And it ain't a lot of places that have good comfort food here in Austin. The Thread Gills used to be one of those kind of comfort food places. Hayes City Store is really good, top-notch, upscale comfort food.
Yeah.
Which I really like about it.
Okay.
So I'd recommend it. It's a little trip out there to Hayes City Store. It's well worth it. Yeah, so we're going to make a trip out there. I don't know if we're going to go before the season or during the season, but it's going to happen. Every time I go, I get lunch out there, eat lunch out there, and usually get something to go.
I have a feeling we may be doing a show out there at some point.
Oh, you're probably right. Yes. Yeah. Oh, please.
Yeah.
Please. Please. Let's do a store. Let's do a show at Hayes City Store. It is fantastic. All right. Let's get to some Astros Rangers talk. Go Astros. Astros with a 7-3 win last night over the Rangers. And it was, honestly, the Astros were impressive last night, but they weren't really impressive in this series.
Right.
I thought they should have lost game one. They lost, but they ended up pulling that one out. Won game two. That was in dramatic fashion, right? That was in extra innings.
Yep.
Right? That was in extra innings there. And then last night, they ended up winning 7-3. The Astros scored, I think, 6 runs on average versus the Rangers. Not great because I think the Rangers were right over 5 runs on average per game in this series. Only a .250 batting average. Not bad. But they did put some pressure on with being patient at the plate. They did induce 11 walks. They had 5 home runs. But this is the stat that really stood out to me that haunted the Astros in this series and why they didn't look more impressive. They were 5 of 20 with runners in scoring position in the series.
Yep. Well, the good thing was the Rangers were worse.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
That's
the good thing about that. And, you know, Framber Valdez, ever since he got his hair, man, things have been different for him.
I mean, you did point out
like,
the extensions?
I mean,
extensions.
Where did that come from? My man just decided I'm going to put some braids up in there, put some extensions in there. But he's been doing well. I like the way he's been delivering. He's been the main guy that has been consistent for them lately, besides, obviously, Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
You know, when they made that decision to get rid of Odorizzi, they had some guys that needed to step back up into that rotation, and that's what Framber has been able to do. I've been really impressed with him. He went 7 innings, 4 hits, 8 strikeouts.
Yeah.
8 strikeouts yesterday. And, you know, you've been on Gurriel.
Yeah,
he's struggling.
He has been slumping.
But he got 3 hits yesterday.
That was big
scored
for him.
2 runs. Yeah. And then Bregman with the home run. He had 3 RBIs. I just need to see my man Pena get back to going, because if he can figure it out and get that going, the rest of that lineup's going to take care of itself. Mancini is going to get an opportunity to probably play some more left field because of the fact that they had some Michael Brantley went to go have a second opinion, and then I think it ended up being he's having surgery.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to end up having surgery, so I don't know if that's going to put him – well, yeah, because we're already in August, so he's going to be pretty much done for the season. So Mancini might be playing some outfield here coming up.
So maybe
soon.
The musical chairs that Dusty was playing in the outfield may end up helping because
exactly.
You did get a thorough evaluation of a lot of different guys.
Exactly.
In a lot of different spots.
Wow.
He's Dusty, and we are not, because it may end up working out for the Astros, and I know a lot of fans have been complaining about that musical chairs in the outfield. Real quick, you're talking about Pena. Man, he's been hitting .119 since July 28th. So they definitely need Pena to come back. But Yuli may be getting out of his slump. That's good. He was hitting like .167 in August before that 3-hit performance. So that'll be good for Yuli. You got to get him back on track.
And then they still got Maldonado catching, which is okay.
Oh, yeah. He had a home run.
He had a home run last night, but he's still only batting .187.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like you're going to get away from the defense, or you want your offense. And maybe it's – I don't know. Why would you trade – for Vasquez if you're not going to play him, though? Same thing with Mancini. Yeah. Remember, Mancini wasn't even playing for a couple days, and we're like, where is he
and then
at?
He got hot.
And John McClain is like, where is he? We got an MIA out on this guy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just wish that they would get that chemistry going and getting those guys back in the lineup to where we know that they're going to be there as the season goes on, because it's getting close to that crunch time. And if you want to, again, you want to have home field advantage, I think it's important.
Yep, I think they need
it. And you better hope that the Yankees keep slumping. But you know the Yankees, they get hot. And when they get hot, they get scorching hot.
That's what I'm saying. I would like you to be able to have a cushion here just in case you hit a slump or they get hot. But it seems like the Astros are cool with just having the lead in the AL, the American League. But I think I'm with you, man. I want them to guarantee home field. And right now, they don't have that.
Somebody said that Framer went to Padre and got his hair braided.
Did he go to the same place where Jimmy Butler went?
Yeah, exactly.
Did Jimmy Butler have the same thing?
Yeah, Jimmy Butler had the same thing.
Which one got it first? Because you pointed out Jimmy's too.
It was Jimmy.
All right, maybe it's a thing. Maybe guys are starting to do this more. And usually, guys been getting extensions forever. Trust me, even when I had braids, guys were getting extensions. But at least they tried to hide. They tried to make it more realistic.
Yeah.
Where you wouldn't grow hair down to the back of your...
Covering up your last name on your jersey.
To the middle of your back. Yeah, when just yesterday, your neck came to your neck. Right,
and you didn't even give us progression.
Yeah, exactly.
You just went straight to
it. You at least try to make it realistic.
I try to grow my hair. You know that I'm trying to grow my hair. And then all of a sudden, I come in here. You was like, dang, didn't you
the
just
have... The locks flowing. Yeah. Got you an afro
didn't
all of a sudden.
Did you have like little beady beads
how'd
on
you
there?
Get the afro? What's going on there? There you go. But you can pay for it because extensions are expensive.
Yeah, they are expensive.
So we do know
I'm
going
to go ahead and stay bald.
Cheaper that way. I will come back. Last hour of the show. We'll talk some NFL. Also, Deshaun Watson has done something for the first time since he has been immersed in this controversy. I think we're talking about baby steps here. We'll talk about it on the other side right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.